You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
And good morning. It's good to have you with us this morning. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, Director of Lay Ministry Formation for the Archdiocese, co-hosting with Wayne Majars,
Vice President
at Loyola University. It's good to have you here with us.
Thanks. Nice to be here. Good to be back.
Greg, you attended Father Greg Fest yesterday.
I did. It was quite the celebration. I was telling Jim Dish this morning that our St. Mary the Woods Parish was filled to capacity, standing room only. A very nice send off for Greg and all the good work that he's done there.
He deserves it.
Testimony to his 18 years actually at the parish, 12 as pastor and 6 as associate.
Wow! And St. Mary's is waiting with bated breath for his arrival.
They are absolutely. I'm sure the celebration there will be equally impressive.
You had a little fun vacation, didn't you?
I did. I was. We were talking before the program. I was out at, in Italy for a week and a half in Rome. We had taken actually our board of trustees there for a meeting, so we had a number of meetings leading up to that. And then after that, it was down up to Germany for the Passion Play in Abramaga, which was an incredibly powerful experience. I would recommend it to anyone.
You said it was 7 hours.
It was 7 hours with a break for dinner in between, starting in the afternoon and not ending until about 11, just after 11 o'clock in the evening. So a charming town and a powerful experience that, as you probably know, is done only once every 10 years.
Yeah.
So,
well, for those of you who can't get to Germany, there is a Mount Oberammergau of America in a little bitty town in Arkansas. Arkansas has been going through tough times. I don't know if you heard about it since you were away. But in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, they have an outdoor Passion Play. Seats 4,000 people. It's amazing. Mm. And
so if you don't want to travel all the way to Germany?
You can see it right here, and it's in English.
Closer to home.
It's in English, yes, not in German.
Following the German was challenging. Was challenging, yeah.
Well, I guess we're not here just to talk about your vacation.
We're not.
We're here for a Catholic Schools Today program, and we want to welcome to the show for our first segment, Rick Hussman, who is the president of Seton Academy. And we're going to be joined shortly by the director of technology of Seton Academy, Mr. Steve Parker, because the school has undertaken a cooperative venture with Purdue University. Welcome, Rick. It's good to have you here with us.
It's great to be here.
Tell us about this new venture with Purdue University.
Well, long story short, Kathy Dusick, who is our vice president of institutional advancement, was at a networking session and met a vice chancellor, Dan Hendricks, from Purdue Cal, and they got to speaking about what was going on at Seton, and he got really fired up. And so he has hooked us up with the engineering department at Purdue Cal, and starting this fall, one of their tenured professors will be coming to Seton 3 mornings a week before school to teach an intro to engineering program.
Now tell us about Seton Academy, a little bit about the student body, its makeup, et cetera.
Okay. We're just under 300 kids right now. They are coming from kind of all over the place. We serve kids from Chicago and then certainly the south suburbs, Dalton and Cal City and South Holland, which is where we're located. We are about 95% African American. A lot of diversity in the socioeconomic makeup of our students, but great kids. And really excited about the curriculum and the programs that are being offered at Seton.
Yeah. And for those who may have been aware of Seton in the past and not know its more current history, it used to be an all-girls school.
That is correct.
And currently it's co-ed, right?
Yes. 7 years ago, the decision was made by the Archdiocese for it to be a co-ed institution. At its inception, the Sisters of Charity, located in Cincinnati, were the sponsoring order of the school. As time went on, they could no longer support that mission, and so the Archdiocese took the school over in the mid-80s and made the decision 7 years ago to go co-ed.
Steve Parker, welcome to the program. You are Director of Technology for Seton Academy. Tell us about what this new venture with Purdue Calumet means in your role?
Well, good morning. First off, basically what it means to our program is simply this. Let me tell you how it started. My students that work in the Technology Resource Center as repair technicians had started to, you know, uncover different things here and there. And they were interested in, you know, what type of career could I go into that I could do something like this. And I suggested engineering. So basically, this is how this whole thing came about.
Okay, and what is the maybe this kind of relates back to the demographic makeup of Seton Academy, but engineering, why that field, why now? How do you see that as really being a good match for the students at Seton Academy?
Well, it was a suggestion based on the type of work that seemed to spark their interest. Engineering and technology, you know, more so our students that did come to work in our Technology Resource Center were interested, and it just kind of fell hand in hand with one another.
So what kinds of things are the students learning through that program?
Oh, in the Technology Resource Center, the program, obviously they learn how to fix and repair computers and diagnose problems. But more than that, you don't have to be a computer pro to excel in our program. There are a lot of things going on. We are a Lenovo certified repair center. So this means that, you know, kids can come in and, you know, they can do all sorts of other jobs and still excel.
You know, this shows how old I am. The minute you said repair, the image that came to my mind was these old TVs with tubes being pulled out by these kids, you know, going, okay, now which tube do I put in there? Not like that anymore.
No,
right?
Not like that
so
anymore.
So they're repairing computers.
Yes.
Yeah, and you're a certified
repair
site.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Backing up just a little bit, it was 4 years ago that Seton went into a one-on-one laptop program. Mm-hmm. And of course, you distribute 300 or 400 computers to teenagers, you're going to once in a while have some problems. Our kids don't abuse them, but, you know, just in the natural course of the day, things are going to happen. So Steve gave birth to the Technology Resource Center. He has the kids involved in some certifications, so a number of our higher level techs end up with A+ certification. Means a couple of things. When they go to college, they're going to be both the most popular person in their dorm.
Amen.
Right.
And if they qualify for work study, they won't be wearing a paper hat in a cafeteria.
Right.
They will
right.
be in the IT department.
Is there a challenge, Steve, in trying to make sure that the faculty keep up with really the demands of students who are so immersed in and exposed to technology even before they get to your classrooms?
Well, yes, there is. And what happens is it forces our faculty to become more technology literate.
Okay. And how do you do that?
It's just the nature of the thing. No one wants to be left behind, so to speak. And having said that, our teachers do go above and beyond to stay fluent in what's current.
And that's not an easy thing to do.
No, it's not.
I mean, the technology is constantly changing, so it must be a real challenge for you to make sure that they're up to date.
Yes. Yes.
Well, and we provide a lot of professional development. Mm-hmm. So that people have the opportunity to learn. And, you know, good teachers are lifelong learners themselves.
Right.
And we're blessed with that at Seton. One of our teachers who teaches AP U.S. History all year long had a Sunday evening session by Skype. So she taught an extra class on Sunday nights. Everybody was on their computer talking to each other, having a little bit of extra time with the teacher. And so these exciting kinds of things can take place. And when the faculty kind of gets more and more curious about it, then they dive in.
Now, go back a second. So this online learning, they were all able to see one another as well as to see the instructor?
Well, yes. Not necessarily see, but here, it's a Skype course. Unfortunately, our computers don't come with video cameras.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, they could probably see her, but she couldn't necessarily see them.
But they could all hear one another.
Right, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Ricky, at some point, I'm sure, before this collaboration came together and off to a start that it's going in, you looked at the question of how does this fit with the mission of the school? How does this kind of program really advance what Seton Academy is all about. What's the answer to that question?
Well,
the,
you know, in all things that we do, the students are first. And so we really want to be sure that they are, that they have the opportunity to participate in things that are going to take them a different step to prepare them for college. Literally 100% of our kids go on to college, not quite 100, but, you know, very, very high 90 percentage, you know, of folks do that. The this past year's graduating class earned over $3.5 million in college scholarships.
That's excellent news. And we want you to tell us more about it as soon as we come back from a short break, where you're listening to Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio AM 950. Don't go away. We'll be back after this very short message.
Save Our Children is the theme of this year's Black Catholic Deacons Father's Day Luncheon. Hi, I'm Deacon John Cook, inviting you to do together what we can't do apart. Our annual luncheon is scheduled for Saturday, June 19th, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Parkway Ballroom, 4455 South King Drive in Chicago. Men in the Fire will raise their voices to entertain us, and Deacon Leroy Gill of Holy Angels Parish will provide inspirational words for fathers and their families attending this important gathering. Tickets may be purchased by calling me, Deacon John Cook, at 773-548-7724. That's 773-548-7724. Thank you for supporting this awe-inspiring event.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Poverty in America is the topic of discussion as Catholic Charities USA holds a thought-provoking conference here in Chicago. You know him as the voice of the national anthem. You may get to know him as Damien, the saint. A visit with Wayne Messmer is coming up.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You. Compelling television about your Archdiocese.
And welcome back to Catholic Schools Today on Catholic Community of Faith, Relevant Radio, 950 AM. Wayne Magyars and Graziano Marcheschi with you on this Monday morning. Talking with Rick Hussman, who is the president of Seton Academy, and Steve Parker, the director of technology for Seton, about an exciting new program going on. A cooperative program with Purdue University and Calumet to really provide Seton students with university-level engineering instruction, which is really an overlay in addition to what's going on already at Seton Hall or at Seton's existing technology program. And Rick, before the break, you were talking a lot about the graduates of Seton Academy and not only how well they do in their placement in higher education, but the amount of scholarship monies that they actually are able to bring with them into where their future education is going to be. That's got to be an incredibly uplifting statistic for you to look at every year to see how well your students are doing.
It really is. And I think part of the challenge today is that sometimes families struggle more to attend Seton than they will struggle to go to college. Because once they're out of Seton, they're ready and they take money with them. So the challenge today is for us to find enough support so that even more students can take advantage of everything that is part of the Seton.
Do you have
experience.
More applicants than you have spaces at Seton every year?
Yes and no. We have a lot of interest in Seton. A lot of kids come to us through whether it's shadow days, open houses, you know, visits that we make. They come, they fall in love with it, but then it's time to sign on the dotted line, and they're looking at $8,500 in tuition. If we can't reduce that significantly, that's where the problem is.
Those early years, as you were saying a minute ago, grade school, high school, The foundation that's set there is, I think, the most critical. It's funny, Friday during the Hawks rally, my son and his buddy were at the rally. In the meantime, my son's buddy's father, who's a plumber, was at my house fixing my plumbing. And at one point, he just stopped and he said, you know, I really believe in this Catholic grade school, high school thing. He says, my kids are perfect. I'm not sure the kids would agree with that. But it was like, and he attributed it to the schooling that they got. You know, he wasn't attributed in necessarily to his own parenting, but to the great foundation they got at the grade school that he and my son had attended, and the high school that they actually, the Catholic high school that they both attended together. So parents make great sacrifices, but I think they also recognize the value of the sacrifice they made.
Absolutely. There's story after story, of course, of the kind of foundation, as you said, that our kids, our graduates have. You mentioned your friend, the plumber. I ran into a landscaper who's a sophomore, going to be a junior at Notre Dame, graduated from St. Ignatius. I'll go ahead and give him a plug.
Sure.
This kid was one of the most hardworking, very, very bright people I've ever met. And while, you know, schools can't take all the credit, nor can parents, because it's a partnership. And as partners, we do things really, really well.
Well, and recently, with all of the very positive news coming out about how the Catholic school educational system really performs in generating really enthusiastic and enriching learning environments for students, and the third leg of that stool, which is not only the students and the parents, but also the teachers, and providing outstanding instruction, education within the classroom. Talk a little bit about the faculty at Seton Academy and how you really work with them through a program like this to be sure that the expectations of both students and parents are being met.
Okay, well, our faculty is a blend of some veteran faculty and teachers, along with some really great young people coming out of college, probably several of them in their second and third year. They bring a complete fresh perspective, but yet our veterans continue to contribute and grow and learn. The person that I mentioned who did the Skype session, she's been at Seton for 24, 25 years. So, you know, she didn't embrace technology right away. But when she did, look out. And she's been kind of a strong partner for Steve, you know, in helping to move everything forward.
Steve, how long have you been at the school?
I've been there now 4 years.
4 years. Mm-hmm. And what attracted you to secondary education?
Well, to be honest, you know, my story is I was a temp in the business office, and a position had came available while I was in grad school in the Technology Resource Center, and it was kind of a perfect fit for me, and here we are.
Wow. So you were working in the office. Well, it's one of those, it's like that Gecko commercial where he used to be in the mailroom,
right,
and now he's the spokesperson, right?
Well, Steve just finished an MBA, and so, again, another lifelong learner.
Yeah, yes. Excellent. This technology program with the students, is that, does every student in the school go through that, or only the students who sign up for those particular courses?
Well, the students that sign up for the course, I'm also one of the teachers of the intro to computers. So in that class, I, you know, try to teach the kids what they would need to know in order to do good in the program. And from there, even I see, you know, the future of who's going into the program, because they're interested and they're ready to go, and you can see it by their grades.
What kind of difference has the introduction of computers into education made in the classroom? I mean, I used to be a high school teacher, but that was many moons ago before we even had computers. You deal with them on a daily basis. How has that changed the educational process?
It has definitely made our kids smarter.
Really?
Yes. Yes. And my students don't necessarily see it while they're in school. They see it when they go to college, and they call me and they tell me the stories of how their roommate was working on a paper at 3 o'clock in the morning and they had a breakdown. And they said, oh, it's not a big deal, I could step in and fix it, and thank you for all you've taught me. I didn't think it benefited me now until I was in trouble.
Wow.
Do students have higher expectations because of technology in the classroom? Do they expect to get more in less time Better information, more thorough information?
I think so, and I think it's just part of the culture now, you know, of about every 10 minutes, you know, you need something to change because, you know, things are so fast-paced. And we were laughing the other day. It's like whether it's television or whatever else, you got to have that commercial about every 10 minutes. And so we were laughing, saying, well, maybe we should have some commercials every 10 minutes in some of our classrooms because engaging the kids, they really do have some expectations that, you know, that they're going to be engaged. We don't let them take themselves out of that equation because they have to want to. And they
speaking
have to.
Of commercials, let's give you a chance to give a plug for Seton. If someone were interested in the school, how would they contact you?
Our website is www.seton-academy.org.
One more time.
www.seton-academy.org.
And what about a phone number?
708-333-6300.
One more time.
708-333-6300.
And in half a sentence, why should a student consider Seton Academy?
Excellence. Well, our catchphrase here in the Archdiocese, Catholic, vital, and excellent.
Couldn't say it better. Mm-hmm. We want to thank you both, Rick Hussman, president of Seton Academy, and Steve Parker, director of technology for the school. God bless you in all the educational work you're doing, and particularly may this collaboration with Purdue continue to thrive.
Thank you.
You're listening
thank
to Catholic you. Schools Today on Relevant Radio. We're going to be right back and tell you more good news about the schools in the Archdiocese. Don't go away.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
And welcome back to Catholic Schools Today on Catholic Community of Faith, Relevant Radio, 950 AM. Wayne Majors and Graziano Marcheschi with you on this Monday morning. If you are a regular reader of the Catholic New World, you will not have missed. And you should be. You would not have missed just about a month ago a grand two-page spread headlined "Sisters Serve Logan Square School for 100 years." The article was about Our Lady of Grace School, which opened its doors in the Logan Square neighborhood 100 years ago, with four Springfield Dominican sisters on hand, and since then has really grown to one of the real jewels in the crown in the Catholic school system in the Archdiocese of Chicago. To talk about the 100th anniversary of the school and kind of an inside look as to what's going on at Our Lady of Grace is Anahi Lasarte, who is the Director of Marketing Nahi, welcome to Catholic Schools Today. Nice to have you with us.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me today.
For our listeners who might not be familiar with Our Lady of Grace, tell us a little bit about the school, students, faculty, and how it really began 100 years ago.
Well, that's the most interesting story, how the school began, actually. There used to be a parish in that Logan Square area. We're located on Fullerton and Ridgeway. And for some reason, the parish moved away from that community. But if you think 100 years ago how the area was, it was really pretty much just land. It was a lot of farmland. And it was really hard to move around from one place to another. So the community was left without an accessible parish. And so a group of moms, they were worried about their kids' religious formation and education, and they decided to get organized and petition the Archdiocese to build a parish and a school in their community. And they were told at the Archdiocese, well, we will build a parish with you, for you and with you, if you can prove that there are 100 Catholic families in that area. So imagine 100 years ago, a group of four mothers just walking around the neighborhood asking for people to sign up for this and to sign a petition. And they were able to collect 100 names of families and build this.
They didn't have to do bargaining. What if we find only 90 families? But Lord, what if we find but 80 families?
I don't know.
They found all 100.
But that's I think it's quite extraordinary.
That is a remarkable story, that these four women took that initiative and that the Archdiocese responded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's the start of a way of life for the school, the sense of community and just working together is a sense of shared investment. And still to this day, it's really easy to get our families involved in everything we do.
How did the Springfield Dominicans become involved 100 years ago?
Well, you know, I've been doing a lot of research, but there's a little bit of fuzziness in that part of the history. And I've asked around about that, especially for 100th anniversary. I wanted to get that story straight. But it's not really documented. In fact, it was kind of hard to find as much information. We were able to get most of everything through the Dominican Sisters in Springfield, who were able to get us a little bit of info. And those archive pictures that we had in our database, but that's pretty much it. I still don't know. That's a good question.
You know, what I think is remarkable is that they have more of the Springfield Dominicans there now than they did 100 years ago. I don't think there's any other school today that could say that.
That's right. Yeah, we started off with four, and now we have five. Our faculty is a combination of lay teachers and the sisters. They're still very much involved with the school. The convent is right next to it. Our principal, Sister Rita, she is also a Dominican sister. Sister Mayor Bride teaches fifth grade. Sister Myra, she teaches sixth grade. Sister Mary Jerome teaches second grade, and Sister Carol teaches first grade.
What I find amazing, too, about the story of Our Lady of Grace is that over the history of the school, there have been 22 girls that have actually gone in to become members of the Springfield Dominicans.
Mm-hmm. I think that is the religious part of the life of the students is really important. And I still hear it when I speak to graduates or alum. They really have an intense connection. They really connect their faith to what they experience in the school. And then also that sense of involvement with the community and working for marginalized communities, low-income communities, is very much connected to their faith. And I think they've been able to plant that seed in the lives of many of our students.
Do you know when the last vocation was?
Oh, no, I don't. Sorry, I don't.
So it hasn't been real recent?
Well, it has. I think it has been quite recent, but I can't tell you exactly what her name is. But some of them are still somehow connected to the
All right, so it's still happening.
Mm-hmm.
That's mm-hmm. exciting.
You mentioned the neighborhood, the students that are served by Our Lady of Grace, and you brought up parents as well. Tell us a little bit about how really part of the success has been built on, I'm sure, as we talked earlier in the program, about not only engaging good students and hiring excellent faculty, and you have the added dimension of being able to still have a significant presence of religious sisters, but also engaging the family, engaging the parents, their support, their encouragement for their students. How does that happen at Our Lady of Grace, and how have you seen it maybe over the past several years changing? Are we on the uptick? Are parents becoming more concerned about, engrossed in the education of their young people?
Well, our families are our best promoters. They're always out there talking about the school. And I think that really says a lot about their commitment to the school. I've been here since November, so it's hard for me to tell how it's changed over history or over time. But I can tell you that when you go out there to talk to families about the school, it really becomes a lot about community organizing. So the parents that already come to your door have an intense connection and intense desires to see their kids grow. And also some of our parents have had a lot of challenges, and they see the school as a possibility for the kids to go beyond what they've been able to reach. So their commitment, it's beyond just a simple, you know, let's get a degree. It's about a sacrifice that they are doing throughout their life and throughout their generation, and they want to see their family just move up in life, right?
Now, recently, I don't know if it's the result of you arriving there, but you've had an increase in the enrollment in the school. What do you attribute that to?
It's just treating recruitment as community organizing. Last summer, they went out there. They started passing out flyers and doing door hanger, just spread the word and talk about the importance and the relevance of Catholic education, especially for the Latino community and the difference it can really make.
Our Lady of Grace in the Logan Square neighborhood is celebrating 100 years, and our guest this morning is their Director of Marketing, Nahi Lasarte. You are listening to Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio 950 AM, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Are you Mawusi? Mawusi means in the hands of God, in Ewe, a language of the Ghanaian people.
The Office of Catechesis and Youth Ministry sponsors the annual Mawusi Retreat, celebrating Black Catholic spirituality. This year's retreat focuses on fueling our faith as we reclaim our faithful.
We will examine the fire of evangelization as it pertains to Black Catholic spirituality. Experience robust talks, prayer sessions, Eucharistic adoration, reflective time, and a forum focusing on vocations.
The retreat is designed for adults discerning ministry and lay and religious ministers who serve the Black Catholic community.
Join us at Mawusi Friday, July 30th to Sunday, August 1st at Techni Towers in Techni, Illinois. For additional information, call 312-534-8046 or visit our website, www.catechesis-chicago.org.
That's 312-534-8046 or www.catechesis-chicago.org. Are you Mawusi?
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And this special music signals a very special segment with a very special guest. We now bring to the airwaves Joyce Dariga, the editor-in-chief of the Catholic New World, who's going to share some of the news happening around the Archdiocese. Good morning, Joyce.
Hi, how are you?
Very well. We just gave you a big plug. I don't know if you were listening earlier, but Wayne told everybody about the two-page spread on Our Lady of Grace, and we asked everybody if they got the New World and told them that they should.
Oh, nice. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, we really believe in that paper, and give us some reasons why we ought to. What are you going to tell us about in the next issue?
The issue that's out now, if everyone's seen it, there's stuff about ordination. We also introduced everybody to, we have 15 new deacons added to our diaconate program, which, as you guys know, is one of the largest in the country.
So it's, in the world.
In the world, there you go.
The largest in the world.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So the deacons, you know, really help out in the parishes, so it's good to meet them. Then we have an update. Our Lady of the Angels mission over on the west side, where the fire was 51 years ago.
Yeah.
Or 52. Yes. They're getting a lot of support from the community to rehab those buildings and to get more programs in there. So they just dedicated their convent, and it'll have all new rehab. A lot of the labor organizations, that the some unions and stuff helped out to donate some labor to work on that project. And next up, they're going to rehab the church. So the church where there was the funeral for the nuns who died in the fire will become a church again. So that's really neat.
It hasn't been a functioning local parish?
Not a Catholic parish. For the last 20 years or so, there's been a Baptist congregation renting the space.
Wow.
But they consolidated. They had apparently two spaces, so they consolidated to one site and left the church. So the church is going to be the next project over there.
Joyce, we've heard a lot of good news in the media over the past several weeks on the Catholic school system here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. Tell us about what may be coming up in the Catholic New World related to Catholic education throughout the Archdiocese.
We just finished our Catholic Faith and Education issue. It comes out toward the end of the school year to focus on the different front, which is when we had Our Lady of Grace. So now we're starting more of the summer stuff. We had a summer guide in the last issue where people can look and find any kind of event that's going on around the Archdiocese in the summer. If they want to go take their family to a picnic that's on another side of town, or maybe in their local parish community. So we did that. And the next coming issue is the one that everybody likes to call about and find out when it's coming out, is the priest places that are effective July 1st. And that always takes up a couple pages.
That's right. Find out where your pastor went to.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, Joyce,
and who is this new guy that's coming in? So
that's right. We thank you for being with us this morning, and we thank you for the good work that the Archdiocese newspaper does. For those who might not be current subscribers and would like to be, give us a quick phone number.
312-534-7577.
All right.
Or you can go online at catholicnewworld.com.
Catholicnewworld.com. Thank you so much, Joyce. Have a great week, and we'll be looking forward to the next issue.
Okay, thank you.
And we continue now our conversation with Anahi Lazarte, who is the Director of Marketing for Our Lady of Grace School. We were talking just before the break about the increase in your enrollment. That seems to be happening at a surprising number of Catholic schools within the city of Chicago. Are you aware of this trend, and what do you attribute that to?
Yeah, we're getting an increase of interest also recently in these last months. I think it's a combination of families that are really interested in Catholic education itself and what that can offer, especially if they're very active in their parish. But then also many of our families are coming with great concern regarding the state of Chicago public schools, and they are hearing really scary stuff in their schools, like kindergarten will only be 2 hours a day, or they're increasing the number of students in the classroom to 35, or it's just going to be a four-day week. And so far it's a lot of rumors. So they're getting mixed signals from their schools and their concerns. So they're visiting. They're doing a lot of research. They're very savvy. They're considering options. And even when they are concerned about being able to afford the school, they will still go.
Yeah. And you mentioned the five Springfield Dominican sisters that are part of the faculty, but you also indicated that there's a strong lay force of faculty behind them to really carry on the mission of Our Lady of Grace. Talk a little bit about those folks, and especially in meeting the challenges of today's students. We talked earlier an earlier segment of the program on the expectations of students, how immersed they are in technology, how much they expect in a classroom from an instructor. How do you balance that out in providing the instruction at Our Lady of Grace?
Yeah, well, some of our lay teachers have been with the school for 20 years, so they know the ins and outs. We do have a computer lab, and actually our students go to computer twice a week. It's part of the curriculum. And we have a computer instructor. So it's not just something that's added. It's not just something that they can do. It's part of their learning experience at the school. And it's a combination of teaching them just basic computer literacy, but also introducing them to the applications that everybody out there in the workforce has to handle in order to do their work. So it's, yeah, all the classrooms have their two or three computers that the students can use to do research immediately during the class. But it's also about taking time and just go to this room and connect their what they're learning in the classroom with computer literacy skills.
What's the faith component at Our Lady of Grace? What kinds of faith experiences are the children exposed to on a regular basis?
Well, my favorite is through music, actually. Music is an important part of their life, their religious life in the school. Just wouldn't be surprised if at any time of the day you can hear they are singing. but yeah, they go to Mass every week, and every month they have an all-school Mass. And usually one group, one class will sort of be the host of the Mass, and they will take charge of the Mass, and they will be, you know, gift bearers. They will read, or they are altar servers. So it's really an important part of their life.
Well, we need to bring this segment to conclusion, but before we go, could you please give us a contact number?
Sure. Our phone number is 773-342-0170 or olgchicago.org.
One more time?
773-342-0170 or olgchicago.org.
olgchicago.org. Perfect. Anahi Lasarte, Director of Marketing for Our Lady of Grace. Thanks very much for being with us this morning. God bless you and continued good success at the school and for all the good work you do for our students.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio 950 AM, and we'll be back in a break.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
The Catholic New World brought you news on the cause for canonization of Father Augustus Tolton, and we'll continue to follow that story.
Visit our website at www.catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World. Or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
God bless you, and Christ's peace be with you. This is Mary Norfleet Johnson, Director of the Office for Black Catholics in the Archdiocese of Chicago. The Office for Black Catholics is a vital and integral part of the Catholic worship community here in Chicago. Our agency serves people of color, encompassing African American, Haitian, African, Afro-Latino, and Caribbean natives. Contact us and learn how to enhance your neighborhoods, your families, and your faith through various initiatives and events designed to strengthen your relationship with Jesus Christ. Our office is located in the Cardinal Meyer Center at 35th and Lake Park Avenue. Call us at 312-534-8376 or visit our ever-changing website at www.blackcatholicchicago.org. We look forward to serving you and your communities.
Welcome back to Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio AM 950. I'm Graziano Marcheschi with Wayne Madjars. Wayne, you missed all the hoopla with the Hawks.
I did. By the time I got back, the parade was over. The victory parties, well, were in progress. They weren't, I don't think, over. They probably won't be over for quite some time. But I did, and I heard it was quite the event.
And to my dying day, I will regret not being able to make our engineer, Brian Brock, green with envy. I had the opportunity, and I blew it. I was invited to a party, invitation only, where I was told there was a possibility that one or two of the Hawks might be there. I knew that a couple of the Bears would be there. You'd think that alone would have gotten me there.
And you didn't go?
I didn't go.
And they showed up?
All of them showed up.
Wow.
The whole bus full of Hawks showed up with the trophy.
Wow. Brian is having a really tough time hearing that story again.
So Brian forever will be able to look at me and say, that man blew the opportunity of a lifetime. Yeah.
And I had, did I mention to you that I had some extra tickets for the last game, too, that I had to go to waste? And I was going to call Brian, but his line was busy.
Yeah, right.
And I said, well, it's one of those things. Next time.
Back to business here. For years, seventh graders at St. Teresa School in Palatine have had the opportunity to demonstrate what they learned about the Civil War during a history fair at the end of May. And often they've heard from a Lincoln impersonator. But this year, they got to be featured as part of a BBC special because the BBC was here filming a documentary on President Lincoln, and the students got to show off their stuff. We welcome to the program Pamela Wilk, a 7th, 8th grade teacher from St. Teresa School. Welcome, Pam.
Good morning, and thank you. It's an honor to be on your program to represent St. Teresa.
Thank you, and what an honor it was for your students to be able to be part of this BBC documentary.
It certainly was. They're still flying high from the experience.
How was the connection made, Pam, between what your students were doing and the work that the BBC crew was taking here in Illinois?
Well, at the end of April, early May, our principal, Mrs. Abersall, was contacted by Melanie from the BBC, requesting permission to come to film a fine arts presentation that our generous Parents Association provides for us each year. And this year it happened to be Mr. Michael Krebs, a very famous Lincoln impersonator, coming. And he had suggested St. Teresa for the BBC for the inauguration of Lincoln's 1861 presidency. The BBC is doing a one-hour documentary that was going to explore the life and the legacy of our most celebrated president. And Mr. Krebs, being the impersonator, suggested that this presentation would be good for the BBC to come and film.
Hmm. Now, tell us about this Civil War fair that you have annually that the Lincoln presentation becomes a part of.
Well, this was a bonus. At the end of the seventh grade study, Mrs. Warbiani, many years ago, more than 25 years ago, began a Civil War fair, and we have continued it through the years since she has retired. The students are given a list of at least 50 suggestions for projects to research or topics to expand upon, and they on their own or with a partner use class time, library time, technology time to come up with a project. The last Friday in May is our Civil War Fair, where we invite the entire school and or parents and relatives to come and see what projects the students have put together. Earlier in the week, they present the projects to their individual classes. All these projects are memorized and presented quite well.
Give us a sampling.
Some of the projects have been to create a Civil War battlefield and explain what happened, for example, a particular battle at Gettysburg. Or this year, two students did Cold Harbor. Or Grant sent 7,000 people into a battle that 40 minutes later resulted in their deaths. Or sometimes Antietam. Some have dressed as Civil War characters, Frederick Douglass or Grant. This year we had two girls design their own puppet show and create a dialogue regarding Lincoln's assassination and why John Wilkes Booth originally had planned just to hurt him and after the war ended then decided he had to assassinate him. Mm.
So this is really a wonderful way, Pam, for history to come alive for these students. I would imagine an enlivening experience for them to not only learn but also go through a kind of an experiential model of what had happened before.
Well, it is. One of the students researched the Underground Railroad, and one's parents actually took him to visit a site in Wisconsin so that it would become alive for him. Others have visited local Civil War fairs in the springtime to see exactly what really happened, that it came to life in actuality. And I know there's a few more coming up at the Grove in Glenview. There's Civil War Fair coming in July.
It sounds fascinating to me. It's something that I think I would be interested in attending. Do you open this up to the public, or is it just for the school kids?
Oh, no, it's for anyone who would like to come. This year we had a wonderful PR person, because of the BBC coming, invite everyone to come. In the local newspapers, we've had our local paper come, the Daily Herald. The Pioneer Press has come. One of our dads is a photographer. And anyone is welcome to come in and see what the students have accomplished.
And I'll bet you never fail to be surprised at the quality of the presentations that the kids can produce.
Well, I am, and I'm surprised they can choose from the list that we've given them or make up their own. And two girls this year decided to make a cafe, and they actually made three recipes from Lincoln's time, one of them being Lincoln's vanilla cake, and handed out samples, gingerbread. And they were very tasty, and it was interesting that they did the research to find the recipes to make the product.
Well, we have one final break before the end of our program, so we're going to ask our listeners to stay with us. We're going to hear a little bit more about this history fair when we come back. Don't go away.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Whether you're a high school teen, parent, teacher, or catechist, the Chastity Education Initiative of the Archdiocese of Chicago has something to offer you this summer. On July 19th and 20th, the initiative will host its first annual Justice and Life Youth Leadership Summit for high school teens. Join other teens to learn from pro-life leaders on how to be an effective advocate of pro-life issues at your school or parish. With activities, praise and worship, mass, and much more, this will be an experience not to miss. If you're a teacher, a parent, or a catechist, you won't want to miss out on a training for the wildly popular Theology of the Body for Teens curriculum on August 13th. Perfect for 8th grade through high school students. Contact the Respect Life office for more information about this teacher training or the Youth Leadership Summit at 312-534-5355 or go to www.respectlifechicago.org. That's 312-534-5355 or www.respectlifechicago.org.
And welcome back to Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Pam Wilk, who is a 7th and 8th grade teacher at St. Teresa School in Palatine, is with us this morning. We're talking about the civil war fair that has been, I have to pause when I say the civil war fair, civil war space fair that has been going on at the end of May at St. Teresa's, and some of the students now getting connected with producers at BBC where their work has been highlighted. Pamela, you've been...
That could have been a Jay Leno Monday night
it
civil headline.
St. Teresa School holds civil war fair. How do you feel about that, Pam?
It's an interesting... It's a little too late for the children to watch, but it's an interesting headline
How long have you been teaching at St. Teresa?
I'll begin my 20th year at St. Teresa this August.
Okay, so how do kids today do history? I mean, you've talked a lot about what happens in this very exciting, vibrant, you are there experience as part of this fair. But overall, in what you've seen of the students and your experience in the classroom, how do kids embrace history today? How do they react to wanting to know what has happened decades, in some cases centuries ago?
Well, a lot of it goes into comparing and contrasting what happened in the past with what's happening right now, politically, election-wise, tragedy-wise, et cetera. We do a lot of compare and contrast. And, of course, the latest technological tool is the smart board, which is coming into all the schools, where students can actually touch and expand maps and history for various parts of the world. So smart board is the latest technology that we are using.
You know, the perception is that kids live very much in the moment because of the technology, because of the ever-present internet, because of tweeting and, you know, cell phones. So it's exciting to hear that a school like St. Teresa's can really stir up this interest in history in the past so that kids are not just rooted to the moment. And my sense is that what I was describing is really more a misconception about kids than the reality. Would you agree?
I would good, and what would agree. And one of the many comments that the students made was, "I really learned a lot doing this project. I never knew that." And then they would mention the particular fact that they learned about whatever their project dealt with, and it made it exciting for them to learn something new other than just what was in the book.
Pam, are all the projects individual, or do the students also work in groups?
The students can work in pairs, teams, two or in an individual project. When you have more than two, it gets a little confusing as to whose job is doing what. And so I usually pair them off, or they pair themselves off with their friends.
If another school wanted to do something like this, how would you recommend that they begin?
They can certainly contact us at all, at any time at St. Teresa School, 847-359-1820. We'd be more than happy to talk to them about it. Or our website is stteresaschool.com.
So you're willing to share?
Oh, sure.
That's great. Even your list of 50 projects?
Oh, of course.
Excellent.
Of course. That's how teachers collaborate. We share our ideas, and then we embellish upon the ones that we are able to do, and we have suggestions from all over.
Now, Pam, has the BBC production already aired?
No, it will not air until after January 1st. David, the producer, said he will send us a copy of the final product, especially the part that St. Teresa plays in it.
Mm-hmm.
They're also going to have many Lincoln historians included in the film, Doris Kearns Goodwin, Lerone Bennett, James Horton, David Blight, etc. Mr. Michael Krebs is the well-known Lincoln impersonator. He has been on the Lincoln-Douglas debates on the PBS channel. He works out of the History Museum in Chicago, and he goes to the different schools impersonating Lincoln.
That must be a lot of fun.
It is. At the end of the presentation, Deborah Ann Miller portrayed Mary Todd Lincoln, and they put on a little playlet for the children and allowed them to ask questions. And then at the end, when the BBC questions individual students for about 2 minutes at a time, then Lincoln presented each of them with a commemorative penny. You know, last year the Mint came out with four different backs of the penny to commemorate the four different stages in Lincoln's life.
Yeah. Well, Pam, give us your phone number again and the website if anyone were interested in St. Teresa's School for their child.
All right. It's 847-359-1820, and the website is stteresaschool.com. And we welcome everyone. We have preschool through eighth grade.
Well, thank you for sharing with us about the Civil War Fair at St. Teresa, and God bless you in the good work that you continue to do there.
Well, thank you, and God bless you, and thanks again for having us on.
Our pleasure. Well, it's Monday morning in Chicago. You've been listening to Catholic Schools Today, and it's our privilege to be able to share the good news of what's happening in Catholic education within the Archdiocese. We want to thank you for spending your time with us and giving an hour of your day to share in this ministry. We want to thank our producer, Jasmine Quiros. And our engineer.
First the Blackhawks tickets, now this.
And now this.
Poor Brian.
And our engineer, Brian Brock. We'll be back with you on Friday for another edition of Catholic Community of Faith. And we're with you here every morning for an hour from 9 to 10. Thank you and have a wonderful week.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.